League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemae. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Azeez Al-Shaair suspended three games by the National Football League. He found out courtesy a letter from, of all people, the second dirtiest player in the NFL, per Sports Illustrated, in 2006, John Runyon. And joining us in studio to talk about that three-game suspension is DJ Bienemae of ESPN. It's been a really interesting 24 hours, DJ, because on Monday, D'Amico Ryans does a complete 180. Some might call it a flip-flop from what he said about Azeez Al-Shaair's hit of Trevor Lawrence after the game, where he said he's going to talk to Azeez about it, to Monday, where he says, one, we stand behind Azeez. Two, we teach our quarterbacks to get down on slides. Three, Jaguar sideline overreacted. And then you saw a couple hours ago at his press conference, Nick Caserio begin with a 2.5-minute opening statement where he said that the disparaging of Azeez Al-Shaair's character is BS and that the NFL's lack of consistency when it comes to punishing players is something he takes issue with. So what have you thought about how defensive the Texans have been over the last 24 to 48 hours for Azeez Al-Shaair?
I respect that they're defending their guy. Like, I'll give them that, and I think that you should do that. Some of it kind of comes off a little whiny because it's like...
whiny?
Just a little bit. Because if the roles were reversed, and that was CJ, they would have wanted that man out of the NFL also. You know what I'm saying? Like, just being honest.
It's a natural reaction.
Right, right.
That's why the Jaguars fans are acting the way they are.
Why you saying that the Jaguars overreacted is disingenuous. Because we saw when CJ even got pushed a little bit in the Broncos game last year, the whole O-line came to, like, you know, bump up on dude, blah, 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 blah. You didn't call that overreacting when guys were shoving a little bit and whatnot. You didn't call that overreaction because that was just them defending their guy. So that's a little bit of – that's a little disingenuous. I do think that, again, they should defend their players. But we have to be honest across the board, right? Like, multiple things can be true. Azeez is not a dirty player. He's one of the nicest guys that I've ever covered. He's probably, like, my top two, three guys of the nicest humans I've ever covered. But, you know, he had an illegal hit. Trevor slid late-ish, right? But he didn't slide so late to the point where Azeez could have not, you know, couldn't have pulled back a little bit. You know what I'm saying? But, again, another truth, that is a difficult play for Azeez to make. That's fair. Four, that was forcible contact to the shoulder, neck, whatever area that caused this man to be unconscious. That's totally fair. Five, the Jaguars reacted correctly. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I stand with the Jaguars' reaction.
Yeah, like because if that was CJ, like, we would, and the Texans did not react, we would be like, do they even like CJ? That would be the Monday morning discussion.
I've been asking that question all week.
What?
He gets his ass kicked on the first play of the game, and they just stand there, his offensive line.
He didn't get his ass kicked.
He is crawling on the ground, trying to get off the ground.
He got the wind knocked out of him.
Where is his teammates, bro?
Like, he got hit legally and clean.
100%, but those guys, they don't.
What do you want them to do? You want them to go and beat up the other team?
Well, he had to do that against the Broncos last year. Remember, it was CJ who stood on business. The other players came in, but it was after CJ confronted the linebacker. Yeah, for what it's worth.
They didn't see it initially. Then it turned around, you know.
I will agree with Joe on this. I do think the Texans' offensive line is a little slower to react.
That's fair.
But I do think if a play like that had happened to CJ where his arms are fencing, I don't care who the quarterback is.
Right, right, right.
Like, the whole team is going to, I think, go to war for that guy.
Right. No, I completely agree there. So, again, like, And I think, again, Aziz running back onto the field, right, you know, trying to fight with the guard, that also hurt him a little bit.
He looked crazy.
I won't say he looked crazy. He looked upset. I'll say that. Crazy is a stretch. I won't say he looked crazy.
I think he looked crazy because he seemed to be very indignant about how the team was responding to him, the Jaguars in particular.
I wouldn't call him crazy, though, because because crazy for me is like if he was throwing his helmet, throwing punches, whatever. He wasn't even doing all that. Like, it is what it is there. But I also heard, and I also think how the Texans handled it after the game was also poor. I felt like in that situation, knowing that he was probably going to get suspended, right? Like, I don't – seeing the reaction, seeing everything that happened, transpired, seeing that Trevor was fencing, I think the Texans should have made Aziz available right after the game to then have him, you know – because I honestly believe he would have been forthright and apologetic and would have been like, hey, this is not my character, blah, 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 to at least soften a little bit of the blow. Maybe that might have made it two games. Because we saw on Monday, Aziz got crushed on every single talk show across
until the world. His statement was out there.
Yeah,
right. And by that point, the damage is already damage done.
And you know the NFL, they watch these shows, and they allow that to influence some of their decisions.
Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they make him available? I was actually surprised by that, too. I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, one of the reasons was, you know, if a guy, you know, doesn't finish the game or whether injury or ejections, that they, you know, they don't make them available post-game. But I think this was should have been the anomaly. And
yeah, because, I mean, they're all talking about how his character is being disparaged. Right. And look, he's still going to have people going after him. But I've listened to all the national podcasts over the last 24 to 48 hours, and everyone is crucifying
him. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I think that I believe that sometimes, you know, Texans PR staff, they struggle because since they're not in the main spotlight often, right? Like, how often do the Texans get on First Take? It's very rare. You know what I mean? Like, 2022, they got on one time because me and Brian Smith were going at Lovie Smith. They got it, and it was like the last 5 minutes of the show, right? And Stephen A. says, would he do that if Lovie was white, right? And we all know Brian Smith would have.
Yes. Bill O'Brien does.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, and in 2023, they got discussed, like, in passing if, like, you know, CJ was doing something cool. And like, oh, you know, the Texans do something cool. And then this year, oh, you know, can the Texans be really good? But like, even this year, all the hype that they've had, even with their struggles, they've barely even been discussed on national shows. So I think that, like, them not being fully equipped to handle the spotlight all the time. So when moments like this happen, I think they can, like, be a little bit slower to their feet in terms of, like, how to be proactive and sometimes they're just reactive.
I've never been on the beat for a sports team. Is that something you guys can almost force, stronger arm? That's too probably extreme, but can that be something that you guys, like, approach them about in the moment, like, and going forward for situations
like Jonathan Alexander did.
He did, okay.
He did, and he's like, hey, like, because he was thinking what I'm saying now, he was saying, like, hey, just so he can get a statement out there, blah, 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 like, because he's going to get crucified.
Yeah, I mean, you're helping him out a little
bit. Yeah, exactly.
Jonathan Alexander's with the Houston Chronicles, for those who don't know. Because
we know what type of dude Aziz is. Like, Aziz is a great human. Like, I've had...
He said the United Way today, I think.
Yeah, that's what Casero said. Like, I've had conversations with him, like, you know, off the record and whatnot about...
I like him, for what it's worth.
About life.
Oh, damn.
About a plethora of things, you know what I'm saying? How he was raised, why he's Muslim, you know, Palestine. Like, I've talked about a bunch of stuff. He's a thoughtful guy. So, like, to at least get him in front of a mic and have him, like, because I truly do believe, like, you know, I apologize for how I reacted. I know in the moment, like, when he got time to sit back, because that happened in the second quarter. You know, it wasn't like it happened in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes to go. You know, it happened hours prior. You know, it happened hours prior to when he would have been made available.
And yeah. I think
that could have softened the blow a little bit because people were saying maybe one. Maybe two. He got three games. And I think a combination of so many things could have prevented that. I also think D'Amico kind of, like, standing 10 toes down hurt their case also.
In the 24 hours afterwards, maybe that's why he did the 180 afterwards.
So do you think the suspension's too much then?
Yeah, I think three games is way too much.
Okay, how much of the aftermath of it's, like, if you were to just give your opinion of the hit, what happened after the hit, is it just that's kind of what led to the three games?
So I would say, I would say, from my perspective, the hit was probably one, and I think everything else probably was, like, you know, they added two more.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I don't think, you know, obviously that was a legal hit, but it wasn't, you know, like if it was on the sidelines, that'd be different. But it was bang, bang. Both sides are at fault. You can put a percentage. I put like 75 on Aziz, 25 on Trevor. Trevor has to get down a little bit earlier, right? Because guys have to protect themselves. Kind of like when Tua got knocked out on Thursday Night Football. Like, as like that, to me, was also an illegal hit, even though they get flagged. But, yo, he held the ball for like 5 seconds. Get down or get the ball out of your hands. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes quarterbacks are culpable for when they put themselves in these positions. Because these guys, they ain't about to play with you. They about to, you know, get a clean shot on you and knock you silly.
Do you think the NFL actually, like, listens to the players? Like, we're seeing Richard Sherman, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Joe Thomas, guys who played in the NFL, who they're acknowledging that what the hit was, but they're not scared to put blame on the quarterback either. Like, is this actually – will we actually see change from this?
I think with the fake slide stuff I think so. I think at the owners' meeting, I think that could become a hot button issue, especially more people are talking about it because they do react to what the commentary is. We saw that with the pass interference. We've seen that with obviously the concussion stuff with Tua. They will react, right? And like whatever the commentary is, if it's hot enough, we saw them reverse a Ray Rice suspension just because like they got crushed. For once the video got out. So one thing I'll give the NFL some credit, you know, even though they can be slow to stuff, they will make change. And I could envision them changing, you know, at least to get rid of that rule to where you can't, if you fake slide, you can get penalized. And I think that should be it. You fake slide, you get penalized, period. 15 yards, and you'll never see a quarterback do it again.
I like it, but that's also, I think, going to be hard to prove here, you know.
In what aspect?
If it is a fake slide, I mean, obviously, we've had a couple of examples where it's happened.
There's enough. Like Mahomes, Josh Allen, like, we've seen enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, like, it sounds like to me, like, it's almost like the hip drop, where, like, it sounds like a great rule, but
way harder to actually, like.
Yeah.
That one's way harder.
But, like, in the moment, like, the Patrick Mahomes play from earlier this year, where he fake goes out of bounds.
You can find somebody, but you can't pay him. And, look, it's the most highly paid player on the field, you know? It's one of those things where I think it's going to take, like, review after the fact to really prove it. Because, you know, 40 seconds in between plays, if the referee's going to stop, you know, like they do with targeting. I don't know. I feel like it's...
But I think you got to try something, though.
I'm not opposing that. I'm in agreement with you. But I don't think it's going to be easy to execute.
Oh, that's fine. But this is the, you know, one of the biggest sports in the world. So
hey,
the billion-dollar industry. You know that. Hey, that's why you got to pay the rest what they deserve to be able to, you know.
And yet, Roger Goodell goes to his man cave with his recliner that went viral for the NFL draft, and he goes to the little circle that he has, the wheel of punishments, and he just spins it randomly, and we get 3 games for some players, we get 11 games for others, and it doesn't really seem to be a whole lot of rhyme or reason for that. We are focusing on Aziz Alshayer being suspended 3 games.
That's a big suspension.
By the NFL.
That's a big suspension. Beyond the fact that, you know, he's suspended, like, on the field, because you're facing 3 teams that love throwing over the middle of the field.
Is Christian Harris going to be back? Because it feels like...
He's getting closer. You know, Nick Caserio said, you know, he should be back sooner than later. But at this point, right, like, he hasn't played since January. Like, how much do you think you're going to actually get out of him? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. And I think with this 3-game sequence coming up, it's going to be tough. So to bring it back to Aziz Alshayer, do you expect any of these games to be taken off the suspension via appeal, which he is expected to do? I think one, maybe.
Yeah, because usually these things, you know, you appeal and you get it dropped down a little bit.
I can understand that, but this one feels different because it has been – such a focal point for everyone who covers and talks about the sport. And the outrage online has been pretty much everywhere except for Houston, Texas.
Yeah, I know.
Does that make you feel a little crazy? I mean, there is a part of me that looks at the hit and like I feel like I empathize with all defensive players in situations like that. And I don't think that the hit was dirty. Well, I think it was unnecessary roughness.
I do think it was unnecessary roughness.
But then I hear everybody else talking about it that's further away from the situation, and sometimes the opinion that's further away from the situation is the right one. Everyone feels I don't think I've heard one person outside of ex-players say that this was unnecessary roughness. I feel like everyone's saying it's dirty. It's one of the worst hits they've ever seen.
I think the reason why like people view it as dirty is because you see his forearm hitting him also. You know what I'm saying? I think that's where...
With a weapon on it.
You know, that's whatever. But I think the diving at him with your forearm is probably what makes people feel that way. I still don't think it was dirty. As I said, like we both see it aligned. Like the most I thought it was like two games, and then appeal getting reduced down to one. Three kind of surprised me because it's like, dang, like the three biggest games of the year, you're going to suspend, you know, their fourth best defender? Because you got, you know, obviously Sting, Daniil, and Will, and then this is Aziz right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, now that's tough. Because I think when he the games he missed, they went 1-2 in those games. Now, for a various amount of reason, offense obviously like peed themselves in the majority of those games. But again, like missing him, they're legitimately going to miss him. Like, I remember one of the games because the Texans, for the most part, do have a good run stopping defense. But Jonathan Taylor, and that's the game that he missed. I think he missed that one with a knee. He went for like 105 yards. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he might be one of the few guys that rushed for over 100 yards against the Texans. So you're going to get the next two out of three teams are very physical and they want to run the ball. Obviously, Miami's not a physical team at all. So you won't miss him that much in a run game, but you're for sure going to miss his speed, his sideline to sideline speed, and you're going to miss someone that could really like defend over the middle of the field pretty effectively. So yeah, I mean, missing him is, they're going to feel it for sure.
Yeah, I think between him and Petrie,
they're
in a tough spot.
Right. Can't swarm without those two.
Yeah.
Literally. Can't swarm
those without those two. Those are your swarmiest swarmers.
Yeah. No, literally. Like, because now that I think about it, you know, I was on the radio in West Palm Beach, you know, it's talking about how, what does that mean for Aziz to be out there? They're also missing Jalen Petrie, who, again, those two are the pure definition of swarmers. Like, these guys have very little regard for their bodies. And they're going to throw their bodies into traffic and try to make things happen. And the thing is, the drop off from the starter to the backup in those two spots is so drastic. You know, at least at like, you know, it's probably like one of the bigger gaps on the team. It's obviously, you know, corner drop off, cornerback drop off, linebacker drop off, old tackle drop off. I was going to say interior offensive line, but they've all struggled. So it doesn't really, it looks the same for the most part at times. Obviously, receiver drop-off isn't too crazy, but, like, linebacker, Aziz, to whoever else, it's a big drop-off. So, and again, nickel to whoever else, that's a big drop-off too. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mac Jones was able to light them up last week. He threw for, like, yeah, I think he might have had more passing yards than CJ in less time. So, It's Mike Jones.
Well, I mean, Mac Jones looked like Mike Jones against that Texans defense.
Speaking of quarterbacks, I have a question. You guys want to, you know, what's an underthrow, TJ?
Yeah, what is a woman? What is an underthrow?
What is a woman? So I would say,
because the ball didn't reach the receiver. So generally, that's what I consider an underthrow.
So it's only an underthrow if, you know, they're doing it within time and they just completely like waffle it, or like they, you know,
or they miss like a Tank Dell or like touchdown.
To me, being late isn't how I would describe that play. I wouldn't, because underthrow has a way different connotation for, because I can't, because like think, say it out loud.
Let me add underthrew, context first.
He underthrew a pass that went 67 yards.
It did go very far. That's cool. I like that.
How many quarterbacks in NFL games while getting hit, while about to get hit,
Kyle Bowler
throw almost 70-yard passes in a game?
Michael Vick.
Yeah.
First-round pick.
You're naming very small amount of people.
Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Tom Savage.
You know how many quarterbacks have played in the NFL? Tens of thousands. Davis Mills ain't throwing no 70-yard.
First Mills throw I saw against the Panthers, it was something else. For those who don't know, DJ and I got in a little disagreement, and he felt the need to quote tweet, well, actually me, about me saying, in the moment, not watching this game in Jacksonville, Florida, that a throw where CJ Stroud was one late to a wide open Tank Dell.
He was late.
Did not throw the ball all the way to Tank Dell. That is the very definition of an underthrow, because the throw was, you see, underthrown because it didn't make.
But here's the thing, though. Like, if here's, you know, what's funny. If Tank goes up for that pass and he catches it and he falls into the end zone, it's a contested catch. You know what we saying? Great throw by CJ.
I would have said underthrown.
You would not have said. Okay. Oh, I got one. I got one. He didn't say underthrow when CJ threw that deep ball to Nico Collins and he had to go and jump and get it over two guys against the Colts in week one. You didn't say underthrow.
I think I did.
Show me.
I don't think I said it on Twitter, but I think after the game I was like, well, he could have hit that stride.
Brother. Oh,
I will look for it. I think I did. I honestly
Well,
think
if
I did.
You can prove that.
He has had a couple where he has missed receivers in stride this year. And again,
every quarterback does.
It's very difficult to do that.
Every quarterback does. But so that's not really saying much. Every quarterback misses guys in stride. Every single one, even Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Mahomes missed Xavier Worthy, who runs a 4-2 to ice the game against the Raiders. You know, I had Xavier Worthy on my fantasy team starting over Jerry Jeudy and Terry McLaurin.
Oh, that sucks.
That sucked. That sucked.
DJ,
that
sucks. You. I thought you were supposed to know football.
But I still put him 159 points.
I'm mad I didn't start Jameis in my two quarterback league. I started CJ Stroud. I mean, my fault because he's underthrowing Tank Dell for a touchdown.
Anyway, he was late on that, and I can't blame him for being late on that because
yeah, he was under pressure.
No, not even that. Like the guy, it became vacant because somebody blew a coverage late. It was weird. Like the number five drove on an out route, but he drove on it kind of late. Even though they were really supposed to pass it off, and they didn't pass it off, miscommunication. So, like, everything was just kind of, like, messed up on that play. I don't think, like, the first read was to get it to – because the first read was to get it to Tank. There's no way CJ misses that. But I don't think that's an underthrow. You can't – for me, you can't throw the ball 67 yards, and it's an underthrow. Now, if it was, like
– well, if he was trying to go 68.
Then. If it was – even if it went 68, the guy would have got there. He would have had to throw in, like, 72 yards. And asking the guy to throw it 72 yards is
– well,
is,
if you throw it 67 when you need to get it 72, that's underthrown.
Well –
I mean, the math says he's
the
right.
The math says he's right.
I totally get what you're
the
saying.
Physics.
I totally.
The reality get. Says say otherwise.
Oh, Derek Stingley gets an interception, and DJ's not talking about how Trevor Lawrence underthrew that ball.
He did underthrow that one.
He's talking about how Derek Stingley's the greatest corner.
He did underthrow that one for sure. He absolutely underthrew that. But that didn't go as far. That didn't go nearly
it's underthrown.
As far.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that one was massively underthrown.
Mm-hmm. And that's a rarity for Trevor Lawrence, who we can't talk bad about because his brain is
no.
You can most definitely talk bad.
He overthrows a lot of
people. You know how people talk bad about Tua.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like brain injury or not,
he's got to be so thankful that Aziz is out for this game. And same thing.
He's played Aziz before and been fine.
Yeah.
He's been fine. Sure. He's played Aziz before, yeah,
but Aziz wasn't swarming then.
Yes, he was. He was absolutely swarming for the Tennessee.
Wasn't Bill Laimbeer, but now he is. He's Black Bill Laimbeer.
The only guy that Tua should ever avoid is Matt Milano or the Bills. Actually, all his concussions.
How about your guy, Kiko Alonso? Remember him with the Dolphins? That guy was one of the
Dolphins. I don't know why people are using that as an example. Like, the NFL didn't do anything here. It's 2017. Like, I don't.
Because.
That's a poor. It's literally, that was almost a decade ago.
That is crazy. You are right.
Yeah, that was 2017.
He knocked Jimmy Garoppolo out of a game that year.
He did?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, in 2017.
Kiko
Alonso just drilled him right in the chest.
Oh.
Yeah. Kiko Alonso was killing quarterbacks back in 17. I do remember that, yeah. Because that's why Jacoby Brissett played against the Texans the next week.
That might have been 2016. That was 2016.
Okay, still. Habitual line steppers.
Yeah.
All of them.
That was 2016. Yeah. I remember that game. Yeah, but that was 2016.
Did you win the media combine yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why Paul didn't show up. He's a coward.
It was a radio show at noon.
We have a job.
But I don't know.
DJ is the head of the Pro Football Writers Association of Houston, and they held it at noon.
During a radio show.
I asked them to, like, make something different, though.
Are we doing the game still? This year?
I don't think so. That's a shame. I actually make it like flag football, dodgeball, or something. Because I was like, I'm not going to lie to you. Ari got second place and he got the better gift. He got a $200 gift card to Kroger. You know what I got? I got Andre Johnson signed locker.
Well, that's pretty sick, dude.
With like
that's disparaging Andre Johnson. Hall of Famer.
Alcohol bottle. I don't drink. With like a mini we'll Hall of Fame jacket.
Okay.
I don't. Okay. I don't drink like that.
Okay, fair enough. Like that, see? That's
just. I rarely drink. But I wanted to trade with Ari because $200, you know, credit gift card. I could do a lot more with that.
I got a J.J. Watt autographed helmet for winning one of the media flag game MVPs, and I felt almost felt guilty about taking that J.J. Watt autographed helmet away from some high school kids, but I did. I had to.
Did you sell it?
No. I got it hung up, bro.
I would have sold that in a heartbeat. What? I got that up out of there. Are you kidding me?
Come on.
He's waiting for him to come back.
Well, I would have sold that. I would have sold that in a blink of an eye. I wouldn't have thought twice. A J.J. Watt sign at that time, what year was that?
That was 2017.
Bro, I would have sold that so fast. J.J. Watt 2017? Boy, that would have been sold so fast.
The value is going up.
Is listen.
Hall of Famer.
If it was a quarterback, I understand holding on to that. All-timer, I understand holding on to that.
Three-time defensive player of the year.
I just don't think J.J. Watt memorabilia is going to like hold that much weight.
DJ, you are 10-15 years. DJ's just dumping on the greatest in NFL history.
I'm just being honest. Like,
he's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
If you Google Andre Johnson memorabilia, you can like get like a helmet frame for like $160.
Okay.
Well, hey. If you Google right now, J.J. Watt signed a helmet and how much you can buy it for, I promise
probably
you.
Probably a high supply.
It's probably like, what, $300?
Yeah, well, it's higher. It's higher than what I got it for, which is free.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm saying, though. You know, I would have sold it. I would have sold it to my 150 and went on by my day. You know? I'm just saying. You know, and now you should have, you know, if you got a signed Deshaun Watson helmet, you should have.
We're not talking about that.
you could have kept that for a very long time for the documentary that will come out on Deshaun Epstein.
This is this is a sore subject for this building, which we gotta sometimes you gotta take a knee, sometimes you gotta fall on the sword. We had a framed autographed Deshaun Watson jersey in the hallways here for way too long a period of time.
Yeah.
It was there for a while. I always would come in, I'm like, why haven't we taken this down yet? And I think we finally did take
it down.
Thank you, Joe.
This year?
I took it down for the listener party.
Yeah.
I said, this can't be up anymore.
We were like, I'm glad someone did.
It's got to go.
Where did it go?
It's in a closet somewhere.
What, like it's Raiders of the Lost Ark? Yeah. Dude, listen, middle management Joe, step in.
It's not in my closet. It's in a promo closet.
That's funny. But yeah.
That's what I should get. I'm going to get it. I'm going to – diamond hands. I'm going to sell it.
You know what? Employer of the year, Deshaun Watson jersey.
You might be able to sell it for $25.
Sell it to a Cleveland Browns fan. They'll sell it. They could use it for fuel in the cold winter. They'll burn it.
That's a good point. You know what I'm saying? Because you know he's probably never playing in the NFL again.
That will be interesting to say. Jameis time. Anyway, he is DJ Bianame. You can catch his work covering the Houston Texans on a day where Azeez Alshaier was suspended for 3 games by the NFL on X and at ESPN.com. DJ, always a pleasure, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Golan and George continues after this, as we talk about your bad boy, Houston Texans.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The picture that's been painted about Azeez, his intentions, who he is as a person, I mean, quite frankly, it's bull****, and it's unfair to the individual, it's unfair to the organization. I mean, we love everything about Azeez Alshaier, what he means to this team, what he brings to this team.
I did not know that Nick Caserio had that in him, at least in a press conference setting. But that was Nick Caserio today, after Azeez Alshaier had been suspended by the National Football League for 3 games. He will appeal. We'll see if he has any luck. I imagine he won't. You also heard from DeMeco Ryans yesterday. He did a complete 180 from where he was after the game on Sunday, where he said, I'll have a talking with Azeez about what happened. That's not a reflection of how we coach. To, we stand behind Azeez. Trevor Lawrence has to get down more quickly. P.S. The Jaguars sideline overreacted. I like that the Texans have become the bad boys, Joe, of the National Football League. Now, it's just one moment. It's just one moment in time.
No, it's not.
But for a franchise of Boy Scouts, this is a new direction. Why do you not think it's just a one-time
because
thing?
Because we got multiple moments where they are
bad boys?
The swarm mentality is alive.
The swarm mentality is alive.
With the Houston Texans.
What do you mean, Joe?
We got a little proof here of what the Texans are all about.
Second, first and 15 on this drive.
Williams on the run. The sideline gets hot in bounds.
Boom!
Final shot. Swift open field. Petrie.
Boom!
Big hit from Jalen Petrie. Williams back to Kometri and hit hard by Petrie.
Boom!
Passing. Whoa! Pass is behind Schoonmaker.
Oh, there's no doubt that Trevor represents.
Finish him.
The ball. Oh, my. That'll be Al Shire, who's flagged for the big hit on the slide, and that's going to start a little bit of a scrum afterwards as the Jaguars come in to protect their QB.
Well, the Mortal Kombat guy
says, five big plays this year.
If he says finish him, the Mortal Kombat guy says finish him. Those are the rules.
He finished him.
He
Mortal
did.
Kombat guy. Killed him.
Lucky he doesn't grab him and rip out his skeleton
okay,
from his body.
So when I was finding the clip, it took me a while. I sent that email very late last night.
Yeah?
And the reason why is because I got very distracted. And I went down a probably like 45-minute long Mortal Kombat rabbit hole on YouTube of just watching the ends of these fights. Of just skulls being ripped out of bodies. People being chopped in half. I just kept watching, and then I went to my PlayStation and was like, any Black Friday deals for Mortal Kombat? There was. It was like $20.
Interesting.
So when I go home, I'm gonna play Mortal Kombat now.
You ever watch the movies?
There
was the recent one, there was the first one. The first one is so funny.
It's so funny.
Unintentionally.
It's yes.
But it's so funny.
Do you like the recent one?
I enjoyed it.
I like it.
I thought it was perfectly fine. I think it was one of those movies that came out like when they still weren't releasing things in theaters, so
yeah.
It was just like on HBO Max or something.
Perfect.
And I was like, this is the perfect way to watch this movie.
Well, while we're talking about Mortal Kombat, perhaps a TMI admission.
Uh-oh.
The first time that I knew I wasn't gay was when I saw 8-Bit Katana in Mortal Kombat 2. I don't know why, but I was like, wow, who's this? I don't know why 5-year-old, 6-year-old me, who should not have been playing that game, liked what I saw, but I knew I liked what I saw.
No, I think but that makes sense. I think mine probably is like the Titanic.
The Titanic.
Yeah.
I mean, that one makes a lot more sense. This is low graphics.
No, but I
low
see,
resolution.
No,
I'm like, oh.
I see what you're saying.
She's hot.
Yeah. We kind of grew up in that era of like when things were, you know, the 1990s, early 2000s, WWE or WWF at the time.
Mm.
We learned a lot as kids.
There used to be a game mode in those wrestling games called Bra and Panties Match.
Yeah. I remember those. I was like 13, I think, when the first one happened.
There's the Dead or Alive video game franchise as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was the Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball, which was the perviest game that's ever been released in the United States of America.
I forgot about that.
Little freakier over to the east. It is. It just is.
Yeah.
But there you go.
But yeah. But I hear what you're saying about Mortal. I agree.
Mortal Kombat made me a man.
Made Paul a man. You know what's so funny? I feel like 2 weeks
straight
ago,
man. Though Paul, many would debate that.
But like 2 weeks ago, you're like, I've never admitted one way or the other. And you just finally made your admission.
Well, I mean.
You just finally said it.
Sexuality is flexible. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, or he just proved how confused he is.
Yeah.
And still
was.
Confused. Like in that moment, I might be. Growing up, I might be, but maybe now I'm not.
Yeah. There's more than two options, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
It's 2024.
There's like a gajillion options.
Yeah. Whoa, hey, you said that so demeaningly. Like, respect my possible truth. Okay? Thank you.
I respect it.
Anyway. some people are bringing up Tomb Raider on the text line.
Oh, yeah. That's another good one.
With the most like pointy polygonal. It is funny. I mean, the graphics were so bad back in the day, but if you're a boy and you're growing up, you're like, oh, look at that.
Yeah. Tomb Raider's the one that like I think a lot of us also remember the most. Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
I mean,
but,
Paul, yeah. I mean, Sean, yeah, Sean does it. Sean just
graphics
grew up on, like, Pokemon.
Are already pretty tight.
Yeah, it's true. Graphics were pretty good for you.
Yeah, you got it good.
I did.
Must be nice.
Didn't have to go through the hard times. Well, I did go through hard times.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about is right now.
I had a computer in my room. What?
Anyway, guys.
Yeah, he never had dial-up internet.
I don't think I did.
Back in dial-up internet days, you could hit Trevor Lawrence like that.
That's true.
It is true.
That's true.
We yearn for the days of dial-up internet.
Bring it back. Anyway, it is Galan and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. The Houston Texans are the bad boys of the NFL. They are basically shaking their fist angrily at the league, which has suspended Azeez Alshayer 3 games for that hit that he had on Sunday of Trevor Lawrence. We got a little garbage time and perhaps another montage up next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We bring the boom. That's what we do. We bring the boom. We bring the boom to you.
Second, first, and 15 on this drive. Williams on the run. The sideline gets popped in bounds by Alshon. Swift open field. Petrie. Big hit from Jalen Petrie. Williams goes back to Temetri and hit hard by Petrie.
Pass it. Whoa. Pass is behind Schoonmaker.
No doubt that Trevor represents.
Finish him.
Oh my. That'll be Alshayer, who's flagged for the big hit on the slide. And that's going to start a little bit of a scrum afterwards as the Jaguars come in to protect their QB.
Boom! That's what we do. We bring the boom. We bring the boom to you. We bring the
Azeez Alshayer, his latest collaboration with the Costco guys.
Yeah. Bring the boom.
I like that Paul just lets it right out.
Because it's such a good song. They bring the boom. Should we do another song? We bring the swarm.
I think we have to. I think we have to write a "We Bring the Swarm" and release it maybe for Christmas.
Well, interesting.
That's a fast turnaround.
That's a lot.
I can write it this weekend.
Okay.
They do have a bye week, so we...
Yeah, we got... Like, what else are we going to do? What else are we going to talk? We just write the lyrics one day. We could spend 3 hours writing the lyrics. Do you guys like this one?
This one.
I do like this. This is great. But Azeez Alshayer suspended 3 games by the National Football League for putting his shoulder, and more so his forearm, which was armored. Weapon? Question mark? Into Jaguars quarterback Trevor Lawrence. He was knocked out of the game. His arm's fenced. We'll see if he's back next week for Jacksonville. I would imagine no. And Azeez Alshayer, we'll see if his appeal actually works. He is appealing the 3-game suspension. Best of luck. I think the NFL is going to turn up their nose at this. I do not think that they are going to budge, even for a game, largely due to the collective reaction to what happened.
Yeah, I know John Runyon's not going to be one of the guys who hears it, but I still think his wording is so passionate, like critical, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they're trying in his best in writing to crucify Azeez, basically. And
In writing.
I wonder what the reaction will be on the other side if they then flip this. At best, it goes to 2 games. At best case scenario, it goes to 2 games.
There's no way. It would be funny if they suspended him an extra game for appealing. I think that should be... Hear me out.
Oh, like a challenge flag?
I think that should be a possibility. What if your appeal is just terrible? Or what if your head coach and your general manager all of a sudden think it's ridiculous that the NFL is showing a lack of consistency? Do you know what would be consistent for the NFL? To throw more chaos into the mix. America's best league. They make Azeez Alshayer suspended for the rest of the regular season after the appeal.
Oh my God, that's Roger Goodell's
music. Roger Goodell steps in like he's Vince McMahon walking into the ring, minus the sexual assault allegations. Because Vince McMahon has those.
A lot of them.
A lot of them.
That is actually unfair to... That is the one commissioner it's unfair to compare Roger Goodell to.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, Vince McMahon's only the worst person ever. Or he's one of them.
Great businessman, though.
Yeah.
It's time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah! I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
So, Joe played a new Houston Texans swarm song, given the swarm mentality that Aziz Alshire now suspended and Jalen Petrie out for some time embody. Mm-hmm. It was a good song, and I've found the next big hit. Now, a lot of people are probably thinking that it's going to be the same song that you've been hearing a lot of these days. No, I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that. But it is Christmas time, and ladies and gentlemen, as the music savant of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, I want to share with you something that I heard. It's a new song for Christmas time.
We bring the boom! That's what we do! We bring the boom! We bring the boom to you! We bring the boom! To the highest degree with the Flavor Maker combo from AMC!
You can't enjoy a movie without snacks and a drink!
And the Flavor Maker combo costs much less than you think!
Flavor Maker!
Come on and see some action! Come and get some thrills!
With small Coke and small popcorn for just $7 bills!
Your Reese's Pieces in the popcorn, yeah, that ain't no joke!
Flavor Maker!
And when you hit the bottom, you can go refill your Coke!
We're taking back the movies and we all can agree! It's best to go to movies with the whole family!
We bring the boom!
Boom!
That's what we do! We bring the boom!
Boom!
We bring the boom to you! We bring the boom!
Boom!
To the highest degree with the Flavor Maker combo from AMC!
That's my bad. That's my bad on this song. I thought this was their Christmas song. No, this is their AMC.
This is their AMC commercial.
This is their AMC
commercial. This is the AMC flavor aid or whatever.
We'll get their Christmas song tomorrow.
I don't know what happened to me. But like at first I was like, this is the dumbest thing in the world.
What?
The Costco guys?
No, it's not. How dare you?
No, Paul. I can't get enough now.
Yes.
Like, I'm all in.
They are.
Am going to become a Costco guy because of the Costco guys.
Really?
Maybe.
Is you can be the next AJ and your son can be the next Big Justice?
Hell yeah. Big Justice won like a lot of money, didn't he? From beating Bryce Harper in a home run derby or something?
He beat Bryce Harper in a home run derby.
Yeah.
Is they had like regulation?
He had like the fence just outside the infield.
Yeah, he beat Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper hit home runs.
Like the celebrity softball game kind of thing.
Justice had to hit him to one point. Harper had to hit him to another.
This is what makes me want to just end it all, is that the Costco guys, Big Justice, the little kid, who beat Bryce Harper in this home run derby, which must have been cool. Good for him. I hope this kid is enjoying this run. He should, every single second of it. But Mr. Beast just gives this kid $100,000.
Yeah.
That makes me want to end it all.
I understand.
So what I'll do to check out the rest of the day is I'm going to go find Mortal Kombat 2, and I'm just going to stare at Katana. I'm just going to do that.
Well, if Paul's late tomorrow, we know why.
Yeah, they have more recent Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Paul, why is your face so red?
Yeah, Paul, tell you what, graphics, a lot better.
Yeah.
Nah,
Paul's
no.
having a hard time
hard
putting
time.
Stuff in the rundown because the keys are sticking together.
And on that note, this has been Galan and George. Big thanks to DJ Bieniemy for stopping by earlier. Our texters, our tweeters, our callers for Sean Mapes, for Joe George. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.